And we're back.
And we're back,
and
everybody.
Okay,
so I know you guys were on the edge of your seats waiting to see if I did, in fact, cut bangs. Mm-hmm. And I did.
How do you feel about your bangs?
I actually really like them.
Okay. When you first asked me, they're phenomenal, stunning, show-stopping, of course. But when you first asked me, the confidence that you had when you first brought it up to the podcast listeners was not present when you were like, I cut bangs. You were like shy about it.
Oh, yeah. Because it is like a little bit of a, it's a red flag.
Is it a big change for you?
It is a, I don't know, not too big of a change. I've had like curtain bangs before, okay. like little layers around my face. So it's not too big of a change. I'm still like, you know, figuring out how to style them and stuff.
I will say it doesn't seem, this is the first time I've seen you with your hair back since.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's impacted your life super.
And I can always like just put them back.
And they're not like a blunt bang.
No.
It's
no,
not
no, no,
Zooey
no,
Deschanel.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I think it'll take a little bit of like tweaking, trimming, just to like really lean into the bang lifestyle.
Okay. Don't go too far.
Yeah.
You can go Miss Rihanna mullet if you want to.
That'd be fun.
Rihanna. Did you see the clips of her at the wedding?
Yes, yes.
What's she doing?
Bitch, where is our new music? We're never going to get it.
We're not getting new music. She's cashing that check.
So rude.
And saying, fuck y'all for even caring.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
She's like pretending that she was never.
I pretend I cannot hear.
Yeah, she pretended that she was never like a singer. She's just like, oh, I just have a makeup line. Yeah. What do you want from me?
I just...
Girl, fuck you.
Fuck you, Rihanna.
Girl, fuck you. Performed at the Super Bowl and then dropped off the face of the planet. Girl, fuck you. I don't care you had two kids.
I don't care.
Get
that
in
she's
the studio.
Happy.
Get in the studio.
Take them damn kids to the studio. Bring your man too.
Bring your
subservient
man.
Ass man.
Your beta male. The funniest thing ever are those like images where people do like body language interpretation.
The lines.
Like, oh, he's leaning towards her cuck.
Cuck.
Her pussy's facing the world.
I want a shirt that just says cuck.
Okay.
Because as much as it is an identifier, I've never, hear me out, but it's also like I'm reading it as like a command.
Oh.
Verb, it's what you do.
That's
I think
so
it's
interesting.
Funny, sorry.
I'm watching is a... Maybe a bit of a stretch.
Sure.
I'm consuming a show called Couple to Thruple on Peacock.
Why do you say stretches if you're not clocked in?
Because it's like so dumb you can't really engage with it. You just have to let it like wash over you.
Letting the thruples wash
just
over
like,
you.
So it's the premise of the show is actually really good. Mm-hmm. It's couples who are interested in polyamory go to this like island. And then there's like a pool of singles and they like have like mixers with the singles and stuff. And then there's like a ceremony where they like pick one.
Are both couples on the same page?
And that's the interesting part. Okay, there are some couples that feel like they are actually going to succeed in polyamory. They're like, we've had like lots of threesomes before. Our relationship is like open. It's been open for a while. And like, we really now want a committed third. And then there are some that are like, that you can tell like they've never even dabbled and are not sure that they really truly want to.
Okay.
So
are there gays?
There are gays.
Wow.
There yeah,
which network is showing the show?
Peacock.
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 Sorry. Okay. I have to tell you about my newest Audible. But let's do it in the episode.
Let's do it in the episode. Sorry. Hello, everybody. My name's Taylor.
My name is Kaivon.
And welcome back to another episode of No Follow-Up Questions.
The show where we talk about the booms, the bangs, and the blunders of living through your 20s.
Oh, so good to see you, Kai.
Wow. I'm here alive.
Alive.
Despite all odds.
You're so resilient.
I'm so resilient.
You're so strong and powerful.
Oh my God. The amount of times me driving to Malibu and the canyons close, I'm like, I could just pass away right now.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it this term.
Hey. Hey, queen. Time to do a suicide assessment.
Let's talk about peacock. The way you said peacock reminded me of apricot, mm-hmm. which reminded me of the book that I'm reading, listening to right
now. What is it?
Call Me By Your Name.
Is this your first time?
First time listening, reading, interacting with the text. Have you read it?
Yes.
Incredibly horny.
Yes.
I have news. It's narrated by Armie Hammer. And I know that he like wants to nibble. That's one of those news headlines that I don't care.
Yeah.
Because he's not hurting me.
I wish he would. I wish.
Here's the thing. Would. His voice is like, it's like gravelly and low. And he speaks such bad Italian. But I got to the point in the book, spoiler alert, it is like 10 times more horny than the movie was.
Yes. Yeah.
And the movie is like pretty horny. Yeah. The first page, it's like, oh, my is for this man. Sorry, we might have to bleep that. Nana, if you're listening, stop.
Wait, we're not saying it. The book said it. We're just commenting on
the book. I got to the point where he said yours, and he threw the apricot to Elio. And he was comparing the shape of the apricot to the shape of Oliver's ass. And he said, I'm going to bite into it. And it was like biting into the same part of his body. And if I dared, I would reach forward and bite his apricock.
Shut up. Wordplay. Gone too far.
Apricock? I almost pulled my car over.
I actually have an opinion on the book versus movie.
Okay. I'm only in that first like part, so don't.
I'm just going to comment on the, you've seen the movie, right?
Yeah. Okay. This is my first gay date.
Aww.
I know.
Sweet. Too horny. Or maybe just horny enough.
I think it was like, I was still nervous about being gay in public. Aww. So I needed the subject matter to be
gay.
A little extra gay.
Yeah. Okay. That's sweet. I went on a date in high school and the guy took me to see Gone Girl.
And Gone Girl, isn't that where Neil Patrick Harris gets his junk ripped off?
Mm-hmm. So I was like, so romantic. Anyway, back to Call Me By Your Name.
Okay.
I honestly prefer the movie over the book. And let me tell you why. I think it's just precisely because of what you've been saying that it is so, the book is so obviously horny.
I almost want to know less of what's going on in his brain.
Yes. I like the movie because it's like, kind of from Elio's perspective, but you don't really know exactly what he's thinking. So it's a lot more subtle. Like it's a very like slow build to the moment when they finally like get together. So it's like, it's like more delicate.
And I know we are in what I don't think of me as a predator. Okay. Okay. Hear me out. In the book, in the movie too, he's 17, Elio. Mm-hmm. And in the book, Oliver's 24, which European standards aside, like maybe that's a little like crossing some lines, but I'll be so honest, like as a little queer boy, like me too. Mm-hmm. 17 was the age for me. The cherry was popped, right? But in the movie, Armie Hammer's not a 24-year-old man.
It's like 26.
He's at least 35.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my only gripe, because the way I'm picturing Oliver from the book is like a little bit more like I've met this man before. This 24-year-old like
bisexual king,
just kind of like chaotic, but everyone is so infatuated by
it. Too hot for his own good, but kind of like callous in the way he treats people.
We've met, like, very flippant, right? We've met this person.
Yeah, definitely.
So the only thing that I wish was in the movie was that portrayed.
Yeah.
I don't know if... Not to say that it was bad, because I think it was a very, very interesting piece of film. But it is very different. But I didn't know there was a second book, which I'll be reading right after this.
I haven't read the second book, actually.
I'll report back.
I would love to read it. But speaking of Timothée Chalamet...
Yeah, I'm also going to go back and read that book again.
Dunk. We just saw Dunk Part 2.
I was all up in that desert. You know what I mean?
I ate that shit up.
Did you like it?
Loved it.
So we went with your boy, Max, and Amy.
Yeah.
Both passed and future guests on this podcast. Uh-huh. But Max is in between you and I.
Yeah.
And Max is like, I can't hear anything. I have a headache. I'm like, okay, you old man.
This is Max's first time.
But I, leaving the house.
Like leaving the house, yeah.
But I couldn't see you.
Yeah, I know. I know. I wish I was sitting next to you.
So I wish I had the perspective of someone like who had also read the book mm-hmm. and was like just as excited about the little details as I was. What are your thoughts?
I was gagged. I think a lot of very beautiful visuals. Obviously, mm-hmm. we've come to expect this. And that is in like the big moments. Like the riding the sandworm mm-hmm. scene was so cool. But even like the little like teeny tiny things though, like I loved how they portrayed like when Lady Jessica becomes Reverend Mother, mm-hmm. like the costume design was really cool. I liked seeing the things that when reading the book, I was like, how the fuck are they I couldn't imagine like how to ride a sandworm. I couldn't imagine, you know, the thing that the Fremen do where they like suck the water out mm-hmm. of dead people. I was like, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. So it was cool to see. And then I loved the breakout star for me was Mr. Austin Butler as Fade Rotha.
I'm sorry, mine was Miss Flo.
Oh, loved her. She actually really loved her.
She was her demeanor in the movie and her costuming amazing.
Oh, her costuming literally.
She looked like a young baby nun in an abbot, right? Uh-huh. The way she had the thing over her yeah. face, but also like Joan of Arc.
Totally.
So cool. Austin Butler. Why was he bald? Who cares? Why is his tongue so long? Why did he make out with his uncle and then look at me like that?
I think actually Austin Butler had so much fun being like a freaky little guy.
Austin Butler's freaky. So he said in an interview, because, okay, we're bouncing all over the place and I don't apologize.
Yeah.
I've never heard that man's real voice in my life. I've also met Austin Butler twice now in person.
Was he Elvis when you met him?
He was Elvis when I met him. And he's a short king. He's like 5'9".
That's so interesting.
I met him and Kaya Gerber, and Kaya didn't say a word. But she was a guest judge on Drag Race last night.
That's so funny.
The first time hearing Kaya Gerber speak was on Drag Race. Which is so funny to me. But Austin, I've never heard this man's real voice in mm-hmm. my life. I never watched Elvis, but I understand the like...
Yeah.
I know what Elvis sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah.
But in Dunk, he sounded like Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah.
But apparently that was a choice. He like took vocal training to sound like Bill Skarsgård. Am I saying his name right?
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
It's good. I think he was, I think he like really made the most out of that character.
Yes.
He really showed just how the fact that he's like just so callously, like thoroughly violent.
Vicious,
but, like,
yeah.
But like relishes in it, like it's fun for him. It was like so scary.
He brought a like eccentricity to this role mm-hmm. that was like unhinged in the way that like Joker's unhinged.
Yes, yeah.
Like I'm here to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Which is when you're reprising a role that was originally done by Sting. Did you watch the old 80s movie?
No.
You should watch it. It's like so interesting. Yeah. The effects back then. It's like mm-hmm. really funny. But Sting had this like spiky porcupine hair, and he was just like. Yes, his character was vicious, but he was mostly just, like, weird.
Like, bad boy.
Just, like, weird, right?
Yeah.
In this movie, you're kind of scared.
It's scary. It's very scary.
But it was, like, scary in, like, a theatrical way. It was cool.
I know. I did not expect that performance from him because, I mean, part of me, like, thinks of Austin Butler as, like, oh, he's, like, just too pretty mm-hmm. to do that. But I really appreciated how freaky he got with it.
And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think it's time we give Baldwin a chance. Not balding, bald.
And I really support that journey for you.
A bald man, especially a bald man with a beard.
I can see the vision. I can see the vision. I like get very mad at my boyfriend when he like trims his hair. Unfortunately.
He has very long hair now.
Yeah.
You guys are almost twins, so.
Yeah. That's my dream. Do we kind of, are we siblings or dating?
You'll have to show me a picture. Maybe like cousins. Oh.
Oof. I just showed Kai a picture that's on my lock screen of
cute picture.
Me and my boyfriend.
Invite me to the family reunion.
Shut up. Okay.
Okay, my favorite.
Racist? Not all white people look the same.
Just most of them. One of my favorite scenes was the Katie Prime.
Oh, yes. Yes. Because oh, my God. I loved that.
I don't know that they never mentioned that, like, their life is black and white or that mm-hmm. they had a white son or anything. But they might have mentioned in the book that, like, their son gave off ultraviolet rays. Mm. And then the filmmakers kind of made a choice based off of that. I thought it was such an interesting choice.
Very stunning.
From a cinematic standpoint, sorry. Because to go from color to black and white is so stark. Mm-hmm. And in a way, like, the binary is violent. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so cool.
And you can imagine how growing up and, like being steeped in that environment mm-hmm. would, like change how the people are on that planet.
I knew there was a black and white scene, and I was wondering how they're going to work it in. It was literally one line in the movie. They're like, there's a white sun. Mm. And, like, you had to infer that mm-hmm. it just meant their life was different. It was so interesting. But that's why all the Harkonnens on Dune had to wear those visors. That's why they would throw up when they're exposed to the sun too much.
Oh.
Because they, like, were basically blind because they're seeing other... Wow. Maybe, like, their vision's, like, blurred. Mm-hmm. They're seeing other rays of light that they never grew up with.
I was confused why that one guy threw up. That makes sense. I was like...
Me this last weekend.
I was like... I thought he was, like car sick in the helicopter. Like,
he's nervous.
He's just nervous. Guy. I thought he was nervous.
No, but that whole scene on Gedi Prime went... Especially when the Bene Gesserit...
Uh-huh.
When she lured him. Did you recognize her? She's a Bond girl.
I did recognize her, but I couldn't place where I knew her from.
I thought at first she was... fucking... Oh, I can't picture the name of the actress.
Mia Goth.
No, that would have been
that
cool.
That would have been
though.
Cool.
No, but she, this actress, I forget her name, but she played it down. And I realized because they did the Gom Jabbar on him.
Uh huh. I didn't remember that from the book. Maybe they did in the book.
No, I think they didn't describe that scene in the book. I think she just was like, I've secured the bloodline or whatever, mm-hmm. which is like, okay, work.
Okay,
you
work.
You have a psychopath baby in you.
Oh my God, I know.
But imagine being someone that gets so horny off of pain. And this little wench tells you to put your hand in the pain box.
Mm-hmm. Oh my!
You're gonna jizz in your pants.
Hard immediately.
Oh my God! And if the pain's too much, I'm gonna stab you and kill you. Oh, do you know what I mean? Like, this
obsessed.
Is too horny for me.
No, yeah, that was a good.
You
scene.
Said use the voice on
when
me,
she
mama.
Was when she was like kneel and he knelt kneel. And he was like.
Was it the voice or did he just want to?
Yeah, and then I was not expecting, speaking of horny, the Timothy Zendaya little, like, mini sex scene.
The
like,
sex
mini,
scene!
Mini, like, post-sex scene.
I know that they had sex in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, the first time they had sex in the book was when they were, like, both tripping balls
mm-hmm.
off of the Water of Life. We sound like nerds
when,
right now.
When, this is, that's so, it's so, like, when me and my boyfriend have too many beers, tripping balls.
I just sweat and pant that much when I'm not having sex. I'm out of shape.
No, but it was like so me because immediately, like, after they were done, she was like, will you always be with me? I was like, she's so me for real.
He's like, okay, time for bed. She's like, look me in the eye. I am obsessed with both of them. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with Zendaya in general.
I liked Chani. They made her very strong. I liked how they were, she was like, not only a fighter, she was like a head bitch in charge. She was like a captain.
They gave her more of an intellectual standpoint in the movie mm-hmm. to make her, I mean, if you have Zendaya in the movie, you better get your money's worth.
Yeah, use her.
Her character was a lot more fleshed out.
Yeah.
And I have a question. At the end of the book, when he was like, hey, big, big spoilers, if you've not watched this, I don't really care. But when he was like, I'm going to marry your mm-hmm. daughter and take your job,
mm-hmm.
and you can fight me to the emperor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chani stays with him, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a big difference.
No, yeah. Well, I think they'll probably show that in the next, in Dune 3.
Dune 3, where I think Arya becomes the titular character.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read Dune Messiah, but I'm considering listening to it.
Yeah, honestly, the first book is the best. Mm-hmm.
You said it gets really weird, right?
Yeah, it does get very weird.
But Paul was never meant to be, like, the hero.
No, he's supposed to be, it's like a very anti-hero.
Like a tragic
yeah,
character. Journey. Do you believe that he truly became, like, the Messiah? Or Was it all a plot, and was he using people?
I think what actually happened, the tragedy of Paul, is that he gets lost in his own sauce. Because at the beginning, he's like having these prophecies of I come to power and then billions of people die. And he's resistant to it. He's like, I don't want to go south. Like, I don't want to tell them that I'm the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Like, he's resisting Lady Jessica, like wanting him to fulfill this prophecy. Then after he trips on the water of life, he, I think, because he can see more, he becomes convinced that he can somehow like control and manipulate. So he like gets out of the bad future. And then because he like has so much faith in his own ability to control the outcome of stuff, then he like really starts to be like, yeah, bitch, I am the fucking Kwisatz Haderach.
Well, the thing is,
Which is sad.
He goes on this like holy war, the jihad, right?
Yeah.
Like there are people starving across the galaxy and dying in his name.
Mm-hmm.
So like, not that he's avoiding that, he actuated it.
Yeah.
By taking the water of life.
Yeah.
Drinking that little Powerade, little concoction. Oop. Me making eye contact with your neighbor.
And I think that is like triggered by the fact that people won't recognize how powerful he is. Because it's like the great houses don't recognize you. And he's like, well, I'm going to kill them all now.
Yo.
Like he does start to get, he starts to accumulate this like this hubris and this sense of himself as so powerful that he then believes that he is all powerful.
I felt at the end of the movie, because in the book, there's very few times where things don't go the way that Paul wants them to, where he's not kind of noticing things or manipulating things. Like there's a lot that bad that happens to and around him, but anything that he kind of like tries succeeds.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh, this character can't really fail. Which I didn't hate reading. Like, I didn't hate reading that. He was not my favorite character, but I didn't hate it. In the movie, there was a little bit more, like, you had to see him kind of grow into that power.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole middle part of the movie was an extrapolation of the book. You didn't see, it kind of had, like, a montage section in the book, whereas in the movie, you got to see a lot of those moments. Him becoming the Fedaikin, him getting his name, him, like, that actual trial of him writing the worms.
Yeah.
Like, we actually got to see a lot of that more. But towards the end, I was like, oh, he's become something almost evil.
Yeah.
And Chani saw that.
And she, yeah, I think
she was like the moral compass for the movie.
Because I think we forgot, like, at the beginning of this iteration of Dune, it's like his father has just been murdered. People had tried to just murder him.
Right.
He's in the desert with people who, again, might kill him.
Right.
And then also the Bene Gesserit, who previously had been, like, backing him, are now, like, he's a flop. They're going to go, they're choosing now potentially, like, Fade Rautha to fulfill this prophecy. So it at the beginning of this movie, it's, like, it might go either way for him. Like, it's not, we're, you know, you're not supposed to think, like, Paul's on this like non, he's not infallible in this movie the way he is in the book.
That's such a good point, because there's so many people that have not read the book. Dune was one of the like most intense like worlds that you had to kind of insert yourself into. It had a literal glossary at the back of it because there's so many words that just like don't make sense. You've never read before. It's insanely engaging because of that, but it was very dense and hard to
read. It's hard to get into. My advice for anyone who wants to read it, please do, but just like don't get tripped up if you're reading words you don't understand, because you just have to like let yourself be immersed in it, and then you will get it.
You start to pick up things, and I imagine that like upon reading it the second time or continuing into the series, like it gets a little bit more like you like understand things more. But for people that have never and will never read the book, like, the movie still has to stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think making him more of a character that has an ambiguous future
mm-hmm.
feels a lot more engaging from a watching standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, yeah. It's hard to root for someone that you know isn't going to fail.
And that, I think, is the fault of the series. Mm. I think, like, the first book is my favorite of the series that I've read so far. I think I've read, like, three of them. I'm, like, three in.
Mm-hmm.
But a fault of the series is that the author is trying to – he's essentially using it as, like, a huge allegory for, like, how – religion exploits people, how mm-hmm. humans have exploited the planet, like how leaders become lost in the sauce and then end up like hurting people that they're supposed to be protecting. So it gets very allegorical and it gets very esoteric.
Right.
And I think there's some character development that is sacrificed mm-hmm. in service of that. And Paul is a little bit, he is not quite as human as he is in the movie.
That's interesting. If you look at the book in context, it was written in the 60s or released in the mm-hmm. 60s. There's a lot to do about like wars in the Middle East and Western leaders kind of like taking resources in the name of righteousness, mm-hmm. right? Which, when you think of that context, it's like the characters can be boiled down into these symbols. I think where the movie succeeded, yes, they made him human, but they allowed Shani to kind of voice
mm-hmm.
that perspective. Because she was like, I don't believe in this prophecy. Like, it's all about me and my people
mm-hmm.
because we are the ones that are going to liberate this world. We are the ones that are going to live on in this world. And your religion is just used to manipulate people.
Yeah, I really enjoy.
She really challenged that.
That aspect of like, of how.
And in a way, that modernized the story a little bit.
Yeah. Because it's like a, there is like a white savior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way that this is framed and having the Bene Gesserit perspective of like, they're literally creating religion for a purpose. So then right. you start to think about like the function of religion, what it can, how it can unite people, but then also how it can be used to control people.
Used as control. Yeah.
And then like, yeah, it's very still relevant because American imperialism has this moral ethos of like, we're liberating people, we're saving people.
What's funny is, I mean, we would have been children, but like 10, 15 years ago, I don't think that this discussion would have happened in the same way. I don't think that we would have been as critical of that nationalism, of that kind of like,
yeah,
those ties that brought them all together. Because now I'm like, if I were Paul,
yeah,
hear me out. I wouldn't be Paul. Imagine knowing you're something being the Messiah and you name him Paul. I would have been like, oh, my dad's dead and now I'm part of this desert people. I don't need to lead them because my name is Atreides. Like, I'm just going to be a desert person.
And I think that's kind of what he started off as doing. Mm-hmm. And then his mom was like, no, babe.
Jessica's kind of still that bitch, though. She's one of my favorite characters in the
loved
book.
Loved her.
But in the movie, she was just like, she's a little extra cunty.
She was kind of like, she took
charge.
Oh, what did you think of like the conversation with Baby?
Loved.
It was kind of freaky.
I loved, because the whole point, and they briefly touched on it, but when she took the water of life, the Bene Gesserit were able to like ingest poison without being mm-hmm. poisoned. They could like separate it in their body chemically, which is very interesting. But the whole point that it, like, awoke Arya's mind.
Yeah.
I thought was one of the coolest things in the story.
Yeah, that, like, because that's also part of the Fremen, like, Reverend Mother ceremony mm-hmm. is you get, it's, like, all the memories from all the past Reverend Mothers, like, become
and
part of you
ones.
In the future. So then Arya, like, has that as a fetus.
So she had the mind of a very wizened old woman
mm-hmm.
as an unborn thing, and she could literally commune with her mom and her brother, which is insane. But I do wish, I understand why they did it, especially if they're making this like a trilogy.
Yeah.
I wish we would have seen this little toddler run around with a Gom Jabbar and like
stab people.
Because that was my favorite part of the ending of the book.
She kills Baron Harkonnen.
She stabs him with a little needle and he dies.
Which is so fucking baller. Like, you get killed by like a 3-year-old girl.
A little 3-year-old.
Honestly cool.
Who has the vocabulary and the vernacular of like a very grown woman.
I'm excited to see how they do that because I feel like the little child actress is going to have to be like.
Well, do you think, because they changed that, she wasn't born by the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Do you think in the third movie we're just going to happen upon grown Arya?
I think they have to show a little bit of progression. Yeah. I think they'll probably do like a montage. Cause then we have to know like what has been happening with Paul in the interim, like how his like weird marriage to Princess Rulan, but he like won't fuck her. And like Chani is his spiritual wife.
But she's now the savior of the people on Dune. I'm just like, I left the theater I was buzzing. I was like, this is when you have a high budget and you use it correctly.
And the vision was so strong, so cohesive.
Mm-hmm. It was not the exact same story, but it was still very, very compelling in and of itself. Mm-hmm. That is how you adapt a story, in my opinion.
The world building is so exciting.
I like that some people are like, I have no fucking idea what's happening. That's so cool to me because it's opportunity for interpretation.
Uh-huh.
It's opportunity for more research. It's opportunity for multiple watches. Yeah. It's like, there's a reason that this movie was as highly rated as it was. And I'm so, so, so glad I got the Shy Halissi popcorn bucket. I'm gonna fuck that popcorn bucket.
So the Shy Halissi popcorn bucket, it was better in person than I thought it would be because it's actually like so functionally poor.
No, it's awful.
I was shocked. I thought it was just gonna be like a popcorn bucket with like the Shy Halud mouth like around it
with like a hole
that's still like a normal popcorn bucket.
No,
the hole, okay, not to be graphic, the hole was so tight
it gripped
the gorilla grip of the Shy Halud,
and it pulls your arm hairs.
You can't actually really eat popcorn out of it because you can't get a full handful of popcorn and get it through. Like, even my, like, tiny, dainty little girl hands, I was like,
imagine fisting a rubber pipe, no lube, and trying to pull the bald fist out with stuff in your hand. You can't.
It was so funny. It was funny. Now you have a piece of history.
You have a piece of history. I have a piece of history. I'm going to put it on my wall. Whenever we have movie nights at my house, like, we're eating popcorn out of
the It's a good like portion control.
It's mechanism. A great conversation starter too. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing, my roommate Noni, she left town right when I think it was the morning after I got back, but I just left it on the counter. No explanation. She doesn't watch Dune. So I'm like, I just want to see what she thinks about this.
Beautiful. Anything else you want to say about Dunk?
I loved it. Go watch it.
Totally.
For real.
Tight 20 on Dunk. what else do we have to chat about?
I had a few things. We talked about horny. Let's talk about, do we want to go cerebral and like spiritual, or do we want to go pee pee poo poo drunk asshole me?
What do you want to do?
Maybe a little of a...
Okay.
Okay,
so... I have a VPR minute we can do.
Do you want to do that really quick?
Sure. So VPR minute, cleanser. A lot happened in... Let's just do quick pop culture. We had a few major pieces of news in the VPR universe. Tom Sandoval got an article in the New York Times.
Is he like everyone loves to hate him kind of guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's still getting screen time?
Mm-hmm. Because he's a big part of season 11 is currently airing. And basically what's happening on the show is like everybody fucking hates his guts, but they have to like film together because they're all coworkers on the show. So the funniest thing is, though, is he like kind of refuses to acknowledge that he fucked up and is now like mad at everyone else because of the way that they like were mad at him.
Can you give me like a 2-sentence? Who is Tom Sandoval? What did he do?
So in Scandoval,
Tom. And how does he relate to Lisa?
So Lisa started Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. She was the owner of Sir Pump Tom Tom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tom Sandoval was a bartender at her restaurant. So then they became business partners and he owns part of Tom Tom.
Okay.
And now he has his own restaurant with Tom Schwartz. shorts and sandies.
Okay.
So Tom Sandoval was dating Kristen Doty at the beginning of the series.
Okay.
He broke up with her, lightly cheated on her with Ariana,
who
was his then partner for 10 years.
Okay.
They bought a house together. She was like freezing her eggs because they weren't sure about having kids, but he wanted to have kids. So she was like in the process of that. They like had businesses together. They were very much like part, like life partners. Then it came out that so in March, actually a year ago, like today.
Is it actually?
Yeah. Like literally a year ago, like, wow, 1 year anniversary of Scandoval. he has this like cover band, mm-hmm. Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras. He was performing. He was like, hey, Ariana, hold on to my phone while I'm performing. She looks in his phone. There is a video recording of him and Raquel, who's one of Ariana's best friends, like jacking off on FaceTime together.
Oh.
And Raquel's like, oh my God. So it then came out that Tom Sandoval had been cheating on his partner of 10 years with this girl Raquel for like about 7 or 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Huge cheating scandal blew up. Like there's like a lot of fallout from that. And Ariana now has gotten a ton of opportunities. She's now on Broadway. She was on Dancing with the Stars. Like she's getting a ton of brand deals. He's flop of the century.
But still getting screen time.
Still getting screen time on Vanderpump Rules because that's literally his only job. So he got an article in the New York Times profile.
Okay.
The funniest thing is, I would recommend reading it because it's very like dark and interesting. But it's funny because he has it, the writer is like, yeah, he has this like 23-year-old PR girlie named Riley who like is just sitting there and not really saying anything. In the article, Tom Sandoval is like, he makes this really like tragic comparison of himself to George Floyd and OJ Simpson.
No.
He's like, yeah, man, it's like crazy. Like when I just think about like pop culture stuff, like obviously like, you know, OJ, the OJ trial and like George Floyd, like, isn't that a little bit the same as Scandoval?
Oh.
He was attempting to say that I'm guessing like, oh, the media coverage of Scandoval was really huge. And so were watershed moments such as OJ's trial and George Floyd's murder. However, equating those things.
That's insane.
It's like, it really just shows how.
How's Riley doing post?
It was so funny because in the article, it was like, they had another interview with him and Riley was not there anymore. And it was like the big PR people at like NBC Universal. So they got wind of the fact that he said that. And then like, we're trying to shut down the article.
I'm sure whoever wrote that article is like,
it's very good because it talks about like how Tom Sandoval's like perception of himself has been warped so much by 10 years of reality TV. Like the lights in his home, they have like the like whatever, like film on them 24/7 because that's better for lighting. When he's talking, he automatically pauses for planes, like stops talking.
Oh.
And then like begins talking again because like that's how they have to do it when they're filming. Like, it's just like he's been, and his sense of self is like, is so fragmented by having to perform his own identity. So the fact that like he cannot, he is so entrenched into his own perspective that he is like, what happened to me is like basically the same as like
it's these moments. It's kind of sad when you think about it.
It is sad. It's really dark. Another element of VPR news connected to this, Raquel has now issued a lawsuit against Tom Sandoval and Ariana Madix for revenge porn for the fact that he like recorded her on FaceTime.
Ariana just
flicking the bean.
Mm-hmm. What happened to Raquel post Sandoval?
She went to a mental health facility for like 3 months.
Damn.
Yeah. To like really work on like trauma, codependency. She did not come back to film season 11.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm stepping away for the sake of my mental health. But now she has a podcast where she recaps Vanderpump Rules. So I'm like, girl, like, you didn't really step away. So
if you think about it from her perspective, like, what can she profit off of still?
I know. So I think she should have just come back onto the show.
Maybe like keeping some kind of distance between her and it is good for her in the long run.
I think it is good for her in the long run, but I think she should really
need a little distance.
Totally.
Is Lisa ever on the show?
Yeah.
Did she have her own like setting and segment? Is there any drama surrounding Lisa at all?
Now it is kind of, she is very like redundant because they all don't like work at her restaurants anymore, obviously.
Are the restaurants even a part of the show?
Like tangentially.
It's really just the personalities now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's eclipsed Lisa. But there is a new spinoff of Vanderpump Rules called The Valley, which is premiering in a couple weeks. It's literally, you'll probably see like Kaya in the background of these shots.
Walking. Not swinging my arms, just kind of like. So scary.
So Jax and Brittany, who got fired from the show, and Kristen Doty, who got fired from the show, are now on The Valley.
Jax is getting a divorce.
And apparently it just came out this week that Jax and Brittany are separated.
The girlies in my office were freaking.
Really?
Yes.
So Jax and Brittany were like a very, very interesting couple because he famously cheated on her in season 6 of the show because he went over to like fuck this girl who was a live-in nurse for a 90-something-year-old woman.
Okay.
So he came over to this old woman's house, fucked this girl while the 90-year-old woman is like coding in the back of the room. But then Brittany forgave him and then they got married at the Kentucky Castle.
Okay.
And then they had a kid.
And now they're getting a divorce?
I mean, I guess like they're separated now.
So. Okay.
Period. That's the VPR minute.
I feel enlightened. I feel informed. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Just wanted to share the important things.
No, Monday when I go see my coworkers, I'm going to be like, guess what I know? Did you read the article? Me not even reading the article.
Yeah. You're like, isn't it crazy how, checks note, Brittany moved out of the modern farmhouse in Valley Village.
Oh. So stupid.
What did you want to share?
I wanted to talk about, if my mic will allow me, I wanted to talk about how my tolerance is changing.
For alcohol?
Yes.
Me too.
Okay, so both of us are famously medicated.
That's so right.
Hold on. Let me say that again. Both of us are famously medicated on, we're taking our little happy pills.
I honestly think it's like really working.
Happy. I think it's working too. For the most part. It might also have to do with the fact that I'm knocking on 30's door, right?
Old.
Long story short, I drink a drink or two.
Yeah.
I don't feel drunk, but the next day I'm extremely hungover.
Yeah.
Right? Which is fun and fresh, I guess. It's a thing that happens in my life now. I went out last Friday. Mm-hmm. Right. I went out, I watched RuPaul's Drag Race. I was just a gay person outside.
Mm-hmm.
I drank a drink. I was feeling good. I smoked a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then it was suggested that we should go to WeHo. Mm. So I get in my little Uber. I go to WeHo. Sidebar. WeHo's not for gay people anymore.
It's not. It's for straight people and people who steal your phone.
Have you had your phone stolen?
Yeah.
In WeHo?
More like Hollywood. It was at like Dirty Laundry.
I don't know where Dirty Laundry
is. It's Madame Siam, connected to Madame Siam. It's right by
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that where you were in the bathroom and it flooded?
Yes.
Okay.
Dark sided.
Yeah. Shout out Carolyn Hamilton.
Oh my god, one of such a fun night.
You still have her sweater?
I wear it all the time. I wear it like at least once a week. If she wants it back, I'll give it back.
It's your sweater now.
It was funny because she was like, she purposely like left her sweater and I was like, do you want to take it? And she's like, no.
She was gifting that to you.
I love it.
To begin with?
I really love it.
Anyway. So I went out to WeHo. So I've been to WeHo plenty of times, but I only know a few of the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're like, where's Motherlode? I wouldn't know how to tell you.
Right next to Tom Tom.
I think it's next to, which is next to Abby?
Yeah.
It's like around the corner?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a vague idea of what side of the street it's on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know the clubs next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know the vibe in there.
Because the clubs are also, they're all named stuff like Trunks.
Right.
Like
Trunks is on the other end, on the other side of the street. I know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's where they play hip hop.
Cool.
So I get into, I'm guessing, Motherlode. I don't remember. First off, everyone's 18.
Ooh.
And everyone is in like a straight couple.
Ooh.
If you're gay there, you're what? Like part of a straight group.
What the fuck?
It felt, I was like, where the fuck am I? And so we go across the way to, I think it was Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Heart is typically fun. They usually have drag queens and whatnot. Everyone's straight.
What?
I was shocked. I have little videos and pictures. I was like, this is weird. You're not going to charge me $17 for a cocktail
to hang out
and water it down. People. I'm what? In a gay bar.
You go to WeHo to get like
to get fucked
knocked
up.
Off your socks right. by a double
to have pour. A dance battle with someone in a wheelchair in the middle of the intersection. That's what I'm looking for.
If you're straight and you want to go out in WeHo, you have Barney's Beanery. No offense.
I think Barney's Beanery is WeHo now. Maybe this is a hot take. Maybe I went at the wrong time. Maybe I'm just 30 years old. I don't know. But the vibes were not what they used to be.
Damn, I'm so sorry.
That begs the question, where are the gay people?
I think on the east side.
My theory is the east side.
Yeah.
There's a new High Tops.
Mm-hmm.
There's Fun. Akbar, mm-hmm. which is popping off.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagle, if you like peeing in a trough.
Oof.
Hot Dog at El Cid.
Yeah.
Never been. I've heard things.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where they are.
Yeah. Interesting.
And maybe Highland Park is like truly becoming that bitch.
Highland Park is that bitch.
I'm not sure, but LA is changing. We're all witnessing
LA is changing.
Anyways, so I drink that night, as you do. The next day, I was so hungover. Because here's
do you remember
what happened.
How many drinks you drank?
I had 1, 2, 3 before I even went to WeHo.
Mm-hmm.
And half of a joint.
Wow.
That should have been stopping point. I wasn't drunk to the point where it was like sloppy, but mm-hmm. it was like, I feel this. And like, if I were to stop now, I'd be a fun night.
I always get to that point and think I want to keep riding this wave.
I mean, that's why I said yes. That's why I got an Uber. It wasn't like I had more to go before my true stopping
miles
point.
Miles to go before we sleep.
Exactly. Hours even. And I... At no point was I like, oh, I'm maybe in the last bar. And that's why we did go home. I was like, this is enough.
Yeah.
I'm late. It's late. I'm tired.
Too many straights.
Too many straights. And the music's not hitting. So like, what is it really for? But when I got home or on the way back, like the Uber was so turbulent and I was in the back seat. I couldn't see the horizon. Instantly nauseous.
Oh my God. I always get nauseous when I'm like a passenger or in the back seat of any car.
The back seat is treacherous. And I'm realizing that now. I can't sit in the back seat.
Jesus.
Getting older is fucking nuts. But I embarrassingly had to be like, hey, can you please pull over? Like, thank you so much.
Did you throw up out of the Uber?
No. I had to sit outside and get some fresh air. And I called an Uber. And as soon as I got back, I drank some water. Uh-huh. Took off the little like concealer I had on my face.
Aww.
And puked my guts out.
Aww.
And then the next day I was so hungover. That was my one puke for
yearly
the year.
Yearly puke. I didn't actually do my yearly puke in 2023.
So you get two this year.
What?
You get two this
oh
year.
Oh my God, yay.
They roll over.
Maybe I'll like freak out when I turn 27 and like
okay.
throw up.
27 is the beginning of the end. So they say. I feel great, by the way. The next day I was so hungover to the point where I was like, I have to reevaluate my choices.
Wow.
Here's the thing. So 27, 28, a little bit of 29, I was like, oh, I'm feeling a second wind.
Oh, yeah, you were
it's
telling me.
It's the famed second wind of your late 20s, mm-hmm. right? What happens when that second wind starts to dwindle? Is there a third to look forward to, or is this just getting older? It's not that I don't enjoy being outside, because there are parts of it that are enjoyable and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I can't hang as much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
it's a younger man's game.
I never really felt like I could hang.
But you could go to like bars.
Yeah.
You could go to like concerts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could be up late and out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There are things, even in those scenarios, where like this takes a lot of effort now.
Yeah, it's just, I just think that the process of like going out is so,
yeah.
I don't like having to Uber to a place,
fair.
Being sweaty and like claustrophobic. Yeah. Too many people. I think I just need to like find places that I like to go.
I like places.
I also find friends who invite me out. Oh. No offense.
I invite you out to plenty of places. Miss Busy.
Okay.
Miss Calendar, Miss Schedule.
Okay. Next time you're in WeHo, you know who lives right down the street.
The thing is, I don't think I'll be going to WeHo anytime soon.
Okay.
That was a very, very telling experience.
Barney's.
I don't think I could do Barney's because last time I went, I was racially profiled.
That was truly insane.
Insane.
I was like, also, he didn't do anything.
The Barney's Beanery isn't fun enough to be that insane.
Every time I drive past it, like when I'm coming home from class, mm-hmm. it's packed.
It's not fun enough to be like
it's
that.
Packed.
I don't get the appeal. I don't think it's for me.
No.
There's like two black people there mm-hmm. and maybe a gay here and there, mm-hmm. right?
And when you go and you have to be both of them, it's too much.
It's too much. And the tallest person in the room?
God.
Give me a fucking break. I can't do it.
Disgusting.
I feel like I have one more Barney's Beanery in my life, mm-hmm. in my life. Did you know there's one in Burbank?
What?
There's a Barney's Beanery in Burbank. And the Burbank crowd is not the WeHo crowd, so I'm so...
That's interesting.
Yes.
Should we start going out in the Valley?
Huh?
Should we start going out in the Valley?
I wish there were more places to go out in the Valley.
There's Jax's Studio City.
What is that?
Jax Taylor from Vanderpump Rules has like a karaoke bar.
I don't do karaoke bars. I'm so sorry.
It's like Yeehaw a little bit. It's like kind boots. Of a sport. It's like a sports bar.
I want like a just a good DJ, and my vibe is like good DJ. I can shake my rump a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's not like a thrashing, like a we're sweating kind of club. Mm-hmm. I want to turn a look, mm-hmm. drink a tasty drink, and listen to good music. Mm. Right, that's all I need.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe I need to start like lounging.
I love a cute little wine bar.
But the thing, there's a difference between that I described and like going out and drinking drinks to look cute. Mm. Like I don't want to go somewhere where it's only lit by candles. That's a whole separate vibe.
I like that vibe.
That's fun. But like when I want to go out, that's not what I want. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So I need like the medium. I love high tops in Los Feliz.
Very fun.
It's very fun. It is that vibe. But the hard part about Los Feliz is bitches love to stare.
Oh.
They love to stare and they love to be stared at. It's like people go there to be seen. And that's a lot mm-hmm. of pressure sometimes.
Yeah. I feel like, okay, so the last week I called Kai because I was like randomly on mm-hmm. the east side we went out and... had a little brunch moment, saw Malia Obama.
Yep, smoking a cig on
smoking
the corner.
A cig. And it was the first time that I ever felt comfortable in Los Feliz because I was like, oh, I now have bangs. You can't really go on the east side unless you have like a fucked up little haircut.
There has to be something slightly off about you.
Either you have to
For me, I was desperately hungover. I was dehydrated.
You have to be physically ill,
uh-huh.
have a fucked up haircut or a thrifted outfit.
Or bad teeth.
Or bad... Are we smoking a cigarette?
Sometimes all of the above. And it's like collecting infinity stones. The more you have, the hotter you are. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So, okay. So you said that when you threw up, mm-hmm. you were now in the process of evaluating your life choices.
So I'm returning back to boundaries.
Wow.
We're only drinking on the weekends and not in excess.
Yes.
The goal isn't to get drunk. The goal is to enjoy the process of making a drink and drinking the drink.
Okay.
Or being social with somebody, mm-hmm. right? That's my boundary. And no more smoking weed unless I don't have work the next day.
Yeah.
Right? I will make an exception if it's a day where I want to feel like lighthearted and happy.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be a day that I'm working from home the next day.
Okay.
Like, I don't need...
No driving to Malibu...
Post high, yeah. Okay. Not that I'm continuing that high into the morning, but it makes getting out of bed a little harder.
You're a little like.
And I don't know that it is the drinking, the weed, the medication. I don't know. There's a lot going on in my microbiome. I'm not sure, but I cannot sleep lately.
Mm.
I've been trying melatonin. I've been trying warm milk. I've been trying going on walks, meditation, yoga, literally everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just finding it really hard to sleep. Like I'll lay in the bed for what feels like hours.
And then when I do
sleep, it's very like, it's not restful fully. So I am trying to like sort that out. Simultaneously trying to like exercise. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's too much.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I just wanted to give a couple updates from work. Okay. With the teens.
Yeah.
A teen yesterday, I guess my age.
Why do you do that?
It's just like fun. Is it like to fun? See how I'm perceived.
Because what if they say it?
Because usually the thing that I enjoy about it is they say, oh my, are you 22, 23? I'm like, oh my God, no. This girl yesterday said 34.
If you were 34, you'd be cool as fuck as a 34-year-old.
Yeah. I'm trying to hope that she was just trying to troll me and be mean, but I kind of think that she really thought I was 34.
But like, it is so masochistic for you to even
participate. I know. Consequently, I did beat a 16-year-old boy in a planking competition.
Okay, strong, Miss Equinox.
No, I was like...
A 16-year-old boy?
Yes.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
It was actually crazy because...
How long was the plank?
Over 2 minutes.
Wow.
And okay. I felt strong. I thought I was going to lose. I felt very strong. It was cool.
Were you shaking at all?
A little bit.
Was he shaking?
Yeah. And I was actually doing really good form.
What do you actually do at work?
Okay, so this was sometimes...
Besides getting roasted by teenagers and planking?
Okay, so the thing is like you have to be creative with your interview.
Is it really just like spending time with them?
Yes, but it's like, okay, you have to address like, okay, this teen is like refusing to get out of their room and go to group.
Got it.
How do you get them to like participate?
You plank with them.
This teen, yes, or this... Everybody, okay, there's an hour of free time. What do you do?
Yeah, okay, you okay.
Play cards with them, talk to them. I don't know, like...
Just socialize and be there.
Socialize, be fun.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, someone will, like, freak out and you have to, like, come up with ways to, like, help them. Or people will, like, be like, oh, I have this feeling. Like, can I talk about it with you? So I get to kind of do a little bit of, like, practice therapy with clients and, like... Try some creative interventions, make sure they're safe.
I feel like once a week I get a text from you saying you've been verbally assaulted by one of these teens. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion would be, hey,
boundaries.
Stop asking them.
How old they think I am? Right. Well, I was interested because I cut bangs to try to look older. And I think it
worked.
Pushed me into the 30s.
It worked,
so.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was just a little bit of an update.
Let me reiterate, there's nothing wrong with looking 34. No, I'm gonna be like 27, 28.
Great.
Yeah. Which is the goal.
I'm cool with that. That's all that I wanted to say.
That's so funny.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our review of Dunk. I would love to know what you guys think about it.
Please let us know. And if you haven't watched and you want to watch, I'd gladly go watch with you.
Oh, totally.
Time.
Yeah.
Miss Rosie Rose is coming into town. Woo! Tucker hasn't seen it. So
yeah, I'm down to go again.
Reach out to your boy. I'm a literary reviewer.
Yeah.
And a film buff.
Yeah. We're very cultured, if you didn't
definitely.
Know.
We're going to listen back to this and think we sound so smart.
Sometimes I say things that are like so pretentious. Mm-hmm. Like I had this interview for a practicum site and I was like, honestly, like I'm really grappling with the way that capitalism forces us to like medicalize psychology and pathologize like human experiences. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like,
but also,
dumb bitch.
In what way is that helping you get... They're like, we just need you to do the paperwork.
They're like, I don't care about all that. Like, I don't care about all of that. Like, can you commit to this time for weekly training?
Like, we're not paying you for that. We're not paying you.
We're not paying you at all. We're not paying you for your ideas, bitch.
If you enjoyed this episode, thank you so much for listening and for finding some enjoyment in life. Wow. Yeah. Love that. If you didn't like it,
kick rocks
roller skate. Thank you. We put out new episodes every other Tuesday.
We have social medias at nofuxpod, nofuqspod, Instagram, TikTok, Threads. We never post. We have a website, www.nofuxpod. nofuckspod.com, a Gmail address that we never check, nofuckspod@gmail.com.
No, I check it. It goes to my account, yeah.
Oh, Kai checks it.
But no one messages it. Okay, so send us
an email.
Fake ass.
Whatever. But yeah, reach out to us. We'd love to chit-chat with you.
Give us your dunk reviews. Let us know if you have any topic suggestions. If you personally know Tom Sandoval and or are Tam Sandoval, come on the podcast. Oh my God,
we'd love to have Tom on the pod.
I know nothing about him, and I think that makes it better.
Mm-hmm. I know everything about him.
Yeah.
Subscribe to us. Spotify podcasts.
Leave us a 5-star rating and review, and tell a motherfucking friend. Tell a friend. And may your blade chip and shatter.
May your blade chip and shatter. You fought well, Atreides. Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
My name's Fade Ralph. Gee, little lady.
Gonna doon, mama.
Mama, they're sending me to Dune. Mama, I'm going to Arrakis.
On that note, I don't think I have any follow-up questions.
I don't have any follow-up questions either.
Bye.